For 28 years, we had been engaged. We can now register at Home Depot as we prepare for marriage.
I'm thrilled that our soon-to-be 11-year-old is going to understand that his parents are married just like all his friends.
This decision is an outrage.
پارسال من نگفتم وجود ندارن، گفتم این جوری که در اینجا هست در ایران نیست.
I didn't say they don't exist. I said not the way they are here.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Connecticut's constitution demands marriage equality, Uganda's ethics head wants to outlaw being gay, and Iran's president is pressed for queer answers. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Donna Ann Ward.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 11th, 2008. The Connecticut Supreme Court, in a 4-3 decision issued on October 10th, ruled that same-gender couples should be able to marry in the state. The majority said that even though civil unions for lesbi-gay couples have been available in Connecticut for about 3 years, granting virtually all the rights of marriage but the name, such a separate category violated the state constitution's guarantees of equal protection under the law. Justice Richard N. Palmer wrote for the majority that, because the institution of marriage carries with it a status and significance that the newly created classification of civil unions does not embody, the segregation of heterosexual and homosexual couples into separate institutions constitutes a cognizable harm. Melinda Tuhus filed this report from New Haven for Free Speech Radio News.
Connecticut legalized civil unions for same-sex couples in 2005, but many advocates have been pushing for the right to marry. Anne Standback, director of Love Makes a Family, said this victory was 8 years in the making.
It is a historic ruling. I think that the court said very clearly that civil unions are a separate and unequal status, and I think people will be getting married before the end of this year, for sure.
The ruling in Kerrigan and Mock et al. Versus Department of Public Health came 17 months after the case was argued at the state Supreme Court. Connecticut joins Massachusetts and California as the only states allowing full marriage rights for same-sex couples. For FSRN, I'm Melinda Tuhus in New Haven.
The Boston-based gay and lesbian advocates and defenders filed the case in 2004 on behalf of 8 Connecticut same-gender couples after they were denied marriage licenses. That prompted the state legislature to pass a civil unions law the next year that was intended to satisfy marriage equality advocates. The lawsuit proceeded up the judicial ladder, however, as gay and lesbian couples continued to demand full marriage rights.
In one of 3 separate dissents, Justice Peter Zarella argued that any decision on same-gender marriage should be left to the legislature. Lawmakers, however, have been reluctant since passing the civil unions measure to take that step. State Attorney General Richard Blumenthal, whose office represented the state in the case, said the decision will take effect on October 28th and that it can't be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court because the case involved the state constitution, not federal law. But there's a proposal on the November ballot asking voters whether or not the state should convene a constitutional convention to consider opening Connecticut to direct initiatives. Opponents of the court's marriage ruling support direct initiatives, which could enable them to put a constitutional marriage ban on the ballot. Peter Wolfgang of the Family Institute of Connecticut told reporters that Connecticut voters will have one opportunity on November 4th to reassert their right to self-government. We must vote yes. Meanwhile, the Iowa Supreme Court announced this week that it will hear arguments on December 9th in a case challenging that state's law banning same-gender marriage.
In California, earlier polls showed that Proposition 8 was losing. That November ballot measure would reverse the ruling issued by the state Supreme Court earlier this year and eliminate marriage equality for same-gender couples. TV and radio ads now running up and down the state by the better-funded proponents have changed the polling numbers. The ads argue that people could be sued for their personal beliefs, that the tax-exempt status of religious institutions would be endangered, and that young school children would be forced to learn about same-gender marriage. Lesbi-gay activists have called the claims in those ads outright lies. But the latest polls now show Proposition 8 favored by 47% of likely voters, with about 42% opposed. Major support for Proposition 8 has come from the U.S.-based Roman Catholic fraternal organization, Knights of Columbus, the rabidly anti-LGBT Focus on the Family, and several well-heeled members of the Mormon Church. While supposedly neutral in political matters, Mormon elders made a televised appeal to followers gathered at church buildings in California, Utah, Hawaii, and Idaho, urging them to work for the passage of Proposition 8. Voters in Arizona will also decide on a state constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriage on November 4th.
The latest polls in Florida also show increasing support for a state constitutional amendment there that would not only ban same-gender marriage, but specify that no other legal union that is treated as marriage or the substantial equivalent thereof shall be valid or recognized. Opponents say such language would also prohibit civil unions or domestic partnerships, not only for lesbi-gay couples, but for unmarried heterosexual couples who live together but choose not to marry. Domestic partnerships are also favored by senior citizens, a major voting bloc in the state, who would lose government benefits by remarrying. Amending the state constitution requires a 60% vote in Florida, but recent polls show support for the ballot proposal has grown to 55%.
Elsewhere, Portugal's parliament this week voted by a large majority against a bill to allow gay and lesbian couples in the predominantly Roman Catholic country to marry. Prime Minister José Sócrates of the ruling Socialist Party had warned last week that such legislation was not on the government's agenda. Two minor leftist parties sponsored the civil marriage measure, but only 28 members in the 230-seat legislature voted for it.
Marriage equality for lesbi-gay couples will become legal in Norway on January 1st. But bishops of the Church of Norway voted this week against allowing pastors to perform weddings for those couples. The Lutheran denomination counts nearly 85% of the country's population as members. After what were reportedly hours of heated debate, bishops decided to allow pastors to recite a prayer for civilly married gay and lesbian couples, as long as it's not a formal blessing ceremony.
About 40 anti-gay Anglican church bishops from Africa, Australia, the U.S., India, and Canada took part in a conference last week near the Uganda capital of Kampala. It was a follow-up to a conference held in Jerusalem earlier this year by church traditionalists who oppose openly gay Anglican bishops, specifically Episcopalian Gene Robinson of New Hampshire, and the blessing of same-gender couples conducted primarily by Anglican clergy in North America. Bishops, other clergy, and laypeople from the Global South, Africa, Asia, and Latin America, formed what they called a church within a church in Jerusalem, saying that while they don't want to leave the global Anglican Communion, they oppose its liberal wing and must act separately to support traditional biblical teaching against homosexuality. A bishop from southern India told reporters that, "We need to explain to those who disagree with us on the issue of taking the authority of the Bible as we do."
Uganda's leading Muslim cleric called last year for gay people to be rounded up and marooned on an island in Lake Victoria until they die. And the government of Uganda announced this week that they intend to strengthen the country's laws against homosexuality. Ethics and Integrity Minister James Butoro told a news conference that the state of moral health in our nation is challenging, and we are concerned about the mushrooming of lesbianism and homosexuality. Who is going to occupy Uganda 20 years from now if we all become homosexuals? We know that homosexuals don't reproduce. He blamed increasing globalization, charging that 10 years ago, this phenomenon was not here, but the disease has penetrated everywhere. Consensual adult same-gender sex is already outlawed in the East African country, punishable by up to life in prison. LGBT activists held a first-ever press conference in Kampala a year ago to demand basic civil rights. Fearing reprisals, many wore disguises. A coalition of Christian and Muslim groups filled a downtown stadium a week later, demanding the arrests of all gay people. Ugandan LGBT activists have been increasingly targeted by police for detention and abuse since then. Buturo said that new legislation would be introduced to prosecute anyone who simply comes out publicly as lesbian or gay.
But an estimated 10,000 LGBT people and their supporters came out for the 19th annual Pride festivities in Johannesburg, South Africa on October 4th. According to local media reports, 32 floats and many equally colorful marchers wound their way down the parade route to a multi-stage performance space featuring well-known DJs and drag entertainers. Love, not hate, was the overall theme this year, focusing on the troubling rise in anti-LGBT hate violence. While sexual orientation discrimination was outlawed in the country's post-apartheid constitution and marriage equality was established there in 2006, a number of black lesbians have been brutally murdered in the townships in recent months.
And finally, famous Italian comic Sabina Guzzanti will not be prosecuted for saying in July that Pope Benedict XVI will go to hell for the Roman Catholic Church's treatment of gay people. Justice Minister Angelino Alfano decided not to launch a formal investigation. A local prosecutor in Rome had charged that Guzzanti's comments broke a law that protects the dignity of the church. A Vatican spokesman said that the church approved of the decision to drop the matter.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 11th, 2008, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Donna Ann Ward.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
What really happened in Mashhad, Iran on July 19th, 2005? We'll look for answers later in the program. Issuing a 4-3 ruling on October 10th, the Connecticut Supreme Court said that gay and lesbian couples in the state were entitled to full marriage equality. While civil unions established by the legislature 3 years ago provided virtually all the rights of marriage except the name, the court's majority decided that such second-class status violated the state constitution's guarantee of equal protection under the law. Bennett Klein of the Boston-based Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, or GLAAD, was one of the lead attorneys for the 8 plaintiff couples in the case. He addressed the media during a celebratory press conference that day.
Everybody understands that marriage is a unique institution with profound meaning for couples, that marriage is unparalleled in the dignity, respect, and protection that it gives to couples. And with today's decision, gay and lesbian families in Connecticut will now be able to marry and have the same protection and security as all other families in this state.
For most people, this is not a big issue. They don't think about gay people.
Mary Bonato, GLAAD's civil rights director.
What has happened in this state is that ordinary people have come to see these people as people, as neighbors, as co-workers, whether they're teachers or firefighters or whatever. They've come to see them as people who are parents of children in their schools. They've come to see that they worship in the same church or temple. They've come to see these people as human beings with the same inherent dignity that everyone else has. And when you have that recognition, then the question becomes, why is it exactly that only same-sex couples, only these two, are denied a right that everyone else has? And when you start asking that question and you start thinking about the humanity, the answer becomes pretty simple. In this country, we don't have two standards of law. We have one standard of justice for everyone, and that is the principle that the Connecticut Supreme Court vindicated today.
Mary Bonato put it so well that we are going to have outbreaks of happiness.
Ann Standback of the statewide marriage equality group Love Makes a Family.
And I think given the gloomy economic news of the past few weeks, we all deserve many, many outbreaks of happiness. Today, same-sex couples who have made a lifelong promise to take care of and be responsible for each other celebrate being welcomed into one of society's most fundamental institutions. And today, Connecticut can proudly and appropriately claim its nickname, the Constitution State. Thank you very much.
Opponents of the ruling held their own press conference called by the Family Institute of Connecticut. Executive Director Peter Wolfgang noted that even the state's so-called liberal legislature had resisted marriage equality efforts. He called for passage of a November ballot measure that could open the door to a statewide voter referendum on the issue.
This decision is an outrage. Our Supreme Court justices instead of allowing us to govern ourselves, instead of allowing government, as Lincoln said, of the people, by the people, and for the people, have decided to appoint themselves our robed masters, our philosopher kings. Our judges today have said, you know what, we're going to reach down into the political process and all the really big questions of American democracy, questions about the sanctity of marriage, or on the federal level for many years now, questions about the sanctity of life. The judges will reach down and say, we'll take these really big questions out of the democratic process. And you little people with your elected representatives, well, they can focus on filling the potholes in your streets. There are now three states in the entire 50 United States, only three, that have same-sex marriage. And in all three, every one of them, it was forced on us by the court. There isn't a single state in the land where the people voted for same-sex marriage. But we have one opportunity. There will be a question on the ballot on November 4th asking state voters if they want to hold a constitutional convention. This question will not appear again for 20 years. This is our one opportunity to rise up to have something like the remedy they have in California.
For the time being, however, Connecticut becomes the third U.S. state to open marriage to lesbi-gay couples, joining Massachusetts and California, at least until the Golden State's November 4th election results. Some of the Connecticut plaintiffs now get the last words about their historic win.
I'm Janet Peck. This is my partner, Carol Conklin, soon to be my spouse, Carol Conklin, and it's a real thrill to be able to say that. For 33 years, my heart has ached for that moment. And today, I know that that ache is going to now be replaced with tremendous, wonderful joy, and that our love that we felt for all these years will finally be complete. Thank you.
My name is Garrett Stack, and this is my partner, John Anderson, and for 28 years, we had been engaged. We can now register at Home Depot as we prepare for marriage. And as the Supreme Court decision said, marriage is much more than a bundle of rights and responsibilities. It comes to the soul of who we are as human beings. So we are just overjoyed and can't wait for another 28 more if God provides that. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Beth Kerrigan. It's my spouse to be, Jody Mock.
And this is me.
What's your name?
Fernanda. And Carlos.
Words can't express our absolute sense of joy and gratitude to the justices who made our lives that more special. We are just thankful and relieved, quite frankly. It's been a long haul, so thank you all.
I'm Robin Levine Ritterman, and my partner,
Barb Levine Ritterman.
And I'm thrilled that our soon-to-be 11-year-old, who looks at the pictures of the wedding commitment ceremony that we had in 1992 and just doesn't understand why we're not married. There's the pictures, there's the rabbi. Very soon, he's not going to have to, be confused anymore. He's going to understand that his parents are married just like all his friends. So thank you.
I'm Jeffrey Bush, and this is my fiancé, Stephen Davis. And this is our son, Elijah. And we have been together for almost 20 years. And today it feels like our world has changed due to the simplest of things, marriage. After 20 years, it still feels like the beginning, and I'm so looking forward to the rest of our lives together as a married couple. And Eli's going to be our ring bearer.
The world can change, it can change like that, due to one little word, married. See a palace rise from a two-room flat, due to one little word, married. And the old despair that was often there suddenly ceases to be. For you wake one day, look around and say, my lovely boyfriend. lesbian, my girlfriend, but I'm not so my boyfriend. Married me.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's 2007 visit to the United States for a United Nations General Assembly meeting was marked by a controversial appearance at Columbia University, where he famously contended that there are no gays and lesbians in his country. While attending this year's UN gathering in late September, Ahmadinejad was interviewed by Democracy Now!'s Amy Goodman. That progressive and notoriously unembedded journalist pressed the president on the status of Iran's gays and lesbians and later got a response from activist Kourash Shemirani of Queer Iran Alliance.
When the Iranian president visited New York last year, he gave a speech at Columbia University. He was asked about attitudes to homosexuality in his country.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
On Wednesday, I asked the Iranian president to clarify his statement.
I didn't say they don't exist. I said not the way they are here.
در ایران این کار یه عمل بسیار زشته.
In Iran, it's considered as a very unlikable and abhorrent act.
مردم از این کار بدشون میاد.
People simply don't like it.
دستورات دینی ما مخالف این هست.
Our religious decrees tell us that it's against.
همه ادیان الهی این کار زشت رو تقبیح کردن.
Our values and all divine laws actually believe in the same.
چه کسی اجازه داده که افراد همجنس بازی کنن؟
Who's given them permission to engage in homosexual acts?
این کار خیلی زشتی است.
It's considered as a.
بنیانهای جامعه رو متلاشی میکنه.
It shakens the foundations of a society.
بنیان خانواده رو متلاشی میکنه.
The family foundation.
انسانیت رو از بین میبره.
It robs humanity.
مریضی ها رو تو
It brings about diseases.
این افتخار نیست برای جامعه آمریکا که بگه ما از همجنس بازی حمایت میکنیم.
It should be of no pride to the American society to say that they defend homosexuality.
این اصلا کار خوبی نیست که به دیگران رو به خاطر اینکه ممنوع میکنن میخوایم اونها رو بدنام کنیم یا بگیم کار زشتی کردن.
It's not a good act in and by itself to then hold others accountable for banning it.
اتفاقا اسمش آزادی هم نیست.
And it's not called freedom either.
بله اگر کسی تو خونه خودش در خفا کاری بکنه کاریش نداره کسی.
Sure, if somebody engages in an act in their own house without being known to others, we don't pay any attention to that.
در محدوده شخصی خودشون افراد کاری میکنن آزاده.
People are free to do what they like in their private realms.
اما کسی نمیتونه کار خلاف قانون رو در ملأ عام انجام بده.
But nobody can engage in what breaks the law in public.
چرا در غرب همه این مرزهای اخلاقی متلاشی شده؟
Why is it that in the West all moral boundaries have been shaken?
برای اینکه یه عده میخوان رأی بیارن، حاضرن هر کار غیر اخلاقی رو مجاز بشمارن؟
Just because some people want to get votes, they are ready to overlook every morality.
این به ضرر جامعه است.
This goes against the values of a society.
این دستور پیامبران الهی است.
It is the divine rule of the prophets.
البته در ایران اینجوری که در اینجا مطرحه در اونجا مطرح نیست اصلا.
And then of course in Iran it's not an issue as big as it is in, of concern here in the United States.
ممکنه افراد معدودی باشن.
There might be a few people.
و ناشناخته.
Who are unknown.
فضای عمومی کشور ما مخالفه با این.
In general our country would not accept it.
و قانون هم هست.
And there's a law about it too.
قانون رو باید تبعیت.
Which one must follow.
July 19th is a day that is honored around the world that where two gay teenagers, Iranian teens, were hung. This is a picture of them hanging. They were two young men named Mahmoud Asghari and Ayaz Marhouni. Do you think gay men and lesbians should die in Iran?
No, ما همچین قانونی نداریم برای اعدام اینها در ایران.
No, there's no law for their execution in Iran.
اینا ممکنه قاچاقچی بودن یا کسی رو کشتن.
Either they were drug traffickers or they had killed someone else.
کسانی که افرادی رو بکشن و تجاوز به عنف کنن و ناامنی ایجاد کنن ممکنه مجازاتشون ندم.
Those who kill someone else or engage in acts of rape might could be punished by execution.
والا اونا که همجنسگرا هستن اصلا شناخته نمیشن که بخوان ادام بشن.
Otherwise homosexuals are not even known who they are to be hung in the second place.
ما نداریم مجازات ادام برای اونا.
So we don't have execution.
کار ممنوعیه، کار زشتیه.
Of course we consider it an abhorrent act.
اما مجازاتش ادام نیست.
But it is not punished by capital punishment through capital punishment. It's basically an immoral act.
خیلی کارها غیر اخلاقی است اما مجازات اعدام نداره.
There are a lot of acts that can be immoral, but there's no capital punishment for them.
Now we're joined on the phone by the Iranian-American activist Qudosh Shamirani from Queer Iran Alliance. He's published widely on the subject of how international gay rights advocacy about Iran can face the danger of slipping into pro-war propaganda. Qudosh, welcome to Democracy Now! Your overall response to the Iranian president's comments on the issue of the hanging of the young gay teens.
That has not really been proven. There's been a big debate about that from the human rights organizations about whether they were hung because they were gay. So even, you know, bringing that up with him, I think, is a little tricky. And he was able to dismiss it. I mean, the government has been able to dismiss that accusation easily because the case itself was never brought to light. There's not the fact that are not known. But what he basically said that was quite interesting is that he said that, you know, homosexuality or sodomy is not punishable by death in Iran, which is, of course, not true. There is that law in Iran. And in another sense, it is true because there's so many different laws on the books that that negate this one law that you can say that that doesn't exist on the books. I mean, the legal system in Iran is so complicated that you can have a law that says one thing and many laws are negated, and that's the case with sodomy. So in a way, him being forced to say that the law doesn't exist is a continuation of him trying to sort of cover for himself. In the Larry King interview the day before, 2 days ago, he basically said that the government does not go into people's private lives and people's private homes is their own place. We do not intervene in what they do in their own home, which is again not true. So he's trying to sort of put a nicer face on the various policies and the various things that happen to Iranians in general, gay Iranians in particular. And at this point, I'm not really sure where it's going.
Democracy Now!'s Amy Goodman spoke with Qudosh Shamirani of Queer Iran Alliance following their exclusive interview with Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Tanya Kane Perry, Donna Ann Ward, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, and Sherry Lund contributed program material. Thanks also to Melinda Tuhus and Free Speech Radio News, and to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!. Alan Cumming sang Married, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to subscribe to podcasts of your favorite international LGBT radio show. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of our programs and support our work there. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KHEN Salida, Colorado, Experiment FM, Ames, Iowa, 3OCR, Colac, Victoria, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.